Poddo.
Hello? Hello? Is anyone there? Oh. Right? Anyone?
The Conservatives are the largest party. They don't have an overall majority at this stage. The Prime Minister called this election because she wanted certainty and stability. This doesn't seem to look like certainty and stability.
Welcome to Polling Politics. Welcome to a mini edition of Polling Politics. I'm Joe Twyman, the co-founder of the public opinion consultancy Delta Poll, and usually I would be joined by my co-host, Marie Leconte. Unfortunately, she is off finishing her book, which is available to pre-order. It's entitled Honourable Misfits, A Brief History of Britain's Weirdest, Unluckiest and Most Outrageous MPs, and it's available from July. In her absence, I'm going to be chatting to two people each episode about a specific aspect of Super Thursday. What's Super Thursday, you might quite reasonably ask? That's the series of local elections and regional elections that we have taking place on the 6th of May. Now, this was delayed from last year. Some are taking place this year. Lots of exciting things going on. For this episode, we're joined by Professor Roger Owen Scully, Chair of the Political Studies Association, and a Professor of Politics at Cardiff University, and the Conservative commentator, Lauren McEvitt. Hello, Roger.
Hello, Joe.
And hello, Lauren.
Hello, Joe.
Roger, I'd like to start with you. We have Super Thursday coming up, as I will be calling it, and everyone else seems resistant towards it. One of the things that I thought would be super about it was the situation in Wales. We saw from some of the polls that the Conservatives were really gaining on Labour. How do things look now, and how do you think we will see things the day after Super Thursday, less Super Friday, if you will?
Well, you know, the five devolved elections we've had in Wales previously have all produced essentially fairly similar results, with Labour being by some way the largest party. I mean, a chamber which is only 60 seats. You know, no other party has ever come even within 10 seats of Labour. And while, you know, the Conservatives performed very well in the 2019 general election in Wales, and while, you know, polls earlier this year were showing the Conservatives not far behind Labour, a couple of polls, you know, the most recent ones, we had two in the same week, both put Labour about 10 percentage points ahead on both ballots. And YouGov's fairly regular poll, you know, the most recent iteration, has apparently the Conservatives slipping back while Labour's position seems to be strengthening somewhat. That would suggest that we are on course for yet another devolved Welsh election where Labour are, you know, comfortably the largest party.
And how much has the situation with COVID, which is, of course, devolved in Wales, how much influence do you think that has had on this most unusual of electoral cycles?
Well, clearly it's dominated the news agenda throughout, you know, the last year, including thus far in what should be the campaign period. But it's also had broader and deeper effects. Before all this crisis kicked off, I think it would be a fair summary to say that most people in Wales had, frankly, only a fairly vague idea of who Mark Drakeford was, even though he'd been First Minister for more than a year. And those people who did have some idea who he was weren't, on the whole, terribly impressed. Mark Drakeford's public profile has been transformed over the last 14 months. He's much more widely known to the Welsh people. He's also become significantly more popular. And I think, you know, the fact that, whether rightly or wrongly, the Welsh Labour government's handling of the pandemic is much more favourably rated by the Welsh public than is the UK government's handling of the pandemic, I think, is almost certainly going to be a significant advantage to the Labour Party come election day.
Lauren, as a Conservative commentator, may I refer to you as that?
Yes.
Thank you. What would success look like for the Conservatives on Super Thursday?
I think from the Tory party point of view in Wales, nobody realistically, because of the Labour Party hegemony within the nation, is expecting the Conservatives to come in and win a majority on either the list or the constituency vote. But where we will find some interesting stuff happening is in the Police and Crime Commissioner elections, where turnout is on this election versus previous elections. And one of the things that I'm going to be paying some attention to with this election, but then in the year that follows it, is how much of the learning that the electorate has done about the Welsh devolution system throughout the COVID pandemic stays as long-term learning. Does this improve turnout now that more people know what it is that the Assembly does? Are people going to pay more attention to the Assembly knowing that it has this much control over things, which historically hasn't been the case? It's going to be very interesting to work out where that particular argument falls down after next Thursday. But I don't believe we're looking at, sadly, from my perspective, obviously, an Andrew Archie Davis First Minister next week.
And Roger, you talked about the importance of the COVID situation in Welsh politics and indeed national politics. But thinking specifically about Wales, what impact, indeed, if any, does the question of Welsh independence have on these elections?
Probably fairly limited impact, really. There has been an increase in support for Welsh independence over the last couple of years or so. And although I think, you know, the extent of that increase has maybe been overhyped by some, nonetheless, you know, across multiple different surveys, various different ways of asking questions, you know, there has clearly been a rise in support for independence. But that has happened without there being any very obvious substantial surge in support for the main party of independence in Wales, Plaid Cymru. Plaid, you know, have been putting independence front and centre of their campaign in this election. And in the One Welsh Leaders debate we've had thus far, you know, Adam Price, their leader, was noticeably, I thought, at his strongest and most forceful on that territory. I think, you know, that's where he would like to fight the election. But independence, while it is more favoured than it was, say, 2 or 3 years ago, it's still very much a minority taste in Wales. And indeed, most polls that ask questions on these factors suggest that support for independence in Wales is still a little bit lower, actually, than support for abolishing devolution in Wales altogether. So,
and is anyone realistically campaigning for that?
Yes.
Yeah, and there is an explicitly abolish the Assembly party, even though the institution is no longer called the Assembly. UKIP, or what's left of them, are also fairly clearly an anti-devolution party these days. More interestingly, I think it's been seeing at least some voices in the Conservative Party at least flirting with a much more devo-sceptic position in recent times. So, I mean, I think, you know, there is something of a constituency in the Welsh public clearly for anti-devolution sentiment. What we don't know about this election, certainly one of the things we don't know, is where those voters will turn. If they all, or a substantial proportion of them, rally, for instance, behind the Abolish the Assembly party, it's quite possible that that party, despite having very limited organisation, could actually win several seats.
Lauren, I'm going to ask you this question next, but I'll then come back to Roger with the same question. Given the highly unusual circumstances, given the lead that the Conservatives have in the national polls and everything that's going on at the moment, we still, as Roger said, seem to be going for pretty much the same sort of results that we've seen previously. What do you think it would take in Wales for a change to be a coming?
You'd have to completely reform the electoral system.
That realistically is the only way
yes.
that change
this,
would happen.
This current setup is going to return Labour majorities or Labour slim working coalitions until the end of time.
So you don't see a sort of transformation along
nope.
the lines of, well, indeed, of anything. Roger, are you more open to the idea of possible change?
Well, I mean, I think, yes, some of the sort of social bases for Labour dominance in Wales are probably under a long-term erosion. So, you know, the industrial trade unions are by and large all gone. And, you know, the white-collar public sector unions have been in attrition over the last decade due to austerity. And if we look at Westminster elections, I mean, you know, the Conservatives still get a lower share of the vote in Wales than England, but that gap has gradually been narrowing. And, you know, the 2019 election saw, you know, the smallest post-war gap between Conservative vote share in England and Wales, and saw the Tories matching their post-war high of Welsh seats. So, you know, I mean, Labour dominance is not absolutely in the DNA in Wales, but for devolved elections, I mean, what needs to happen is, well, either maybe a change in the electoral system, but of course, you know, Labour won't vote to change a system that's strongly in their favour, probably. As long as we have the current system, what needs to happen is some agglomeration of other parties need to start making serious inroads into Labour's dominance of the South Wales constituencies. There are 23 constituency seats in the three regions of South Wales, and you know, so that means across five different devolved elections, there have been 115 constituency contests for those seats, and the opposition parties and independents all put together have won 13 of those. Labour have won 112 or whatever it is. I mean, just a ridiculously large amount. In the South Wales West region, Labour have never lost a constituency seat, ever. And as long as that happens, you know, because you know, we only have semi-proportional representation, you know, there isn't a large enough proportional component to compensate for Labour's dominance of the constituencies. And so you know, Plaid Cymru and the Tories in particular have to start winning those Labour South Wales constituency seats.
Looking wider now at all of the possible stories that we could be discussing in the aftermath of next Thursday, Lauren, first to you, what will you be paying particular attention to over the next couple of weeks?
In Wales, I'll be paying attention to how the Abolish Party does in North and Mid, because how well they do is going to impact how openly Devo-sceptic the Conservative Party feel that they can be going forward. I'll be paying attention to the Police and Crime Commissioner elections within the entirety of the Welsh boundaries. And I'll be paying quite a bit of attention to what happens with Plaid. Because what I find fascinating about Plaid is, were Wales to vote for independence at any point in the future, it would have to be a kind of a revolutionary movement. And Plaid have been around so long and have been in government so often in Cardiff that they're part of the establishment now. I don't think they're the party to take independence over the line. And when you look at the polling in Wales on who feels Welsh versus feels British, versus who supports independence and who doesn't, there's a huge gap of votes in people who feel Welsh and not British to be won over to the independence cause that haven't gone that way yet. And I think that Yes Cymru as a movement will begin to break away from Plaid, who they will begin to see as holding them back.
And nationwide, what will you be looking out for? Any particular points of interest?
Yes, one of my best friends is running for our local council seat in Gloucestershire, so I'm paying attention to that.
Are they going to win?
All politics is local, and I have some really big potholes, and I want the number of a guy to fix.
that sounds good, Roger. What about you? What will you be looking out for in Wales and nationally?
Well, in Wales, we obviously wait to see the arithmetic that will emerge post the election in terms of seats, and you know, the arithmetic, as ever, will impose to a substantial degree a logic of its own. I think what is quite likely is that we'll end up in a position where Labour are a few seats short of a majority in Wales, but where Labour's position may be rather weaker than it's been, for instance, after the last two devolved Welsh elections, because after both of those last two ones, while Labour didn't quite have a majority, they were very close to it, but they also had different places that they could turn to get the votes, to give them a majority on any particular issue. So after 2011, for instance, Labour had half the seats, but they also had the ability to make deals either with the Liberal Democrats or with Plaid Cymru and could often sort of play those two off against each other. After the last election in 2016, Labour were able to bring the sole Liberal Democrat into government and then were able to peel David Ellis-Thomas away from Plaid Cymru, effectively giving them a majority. I think this time round, Labour's bargaining position may be rather weaker. And yeah, they and Plaid may be in some form or another more or less condemned to working together, because for both of them, there may be no realistic alternative. Across the UK as a whole, I think you know, clearly lots of people will be looking out to see whether the Conservatives can continue to sort of erode Labour's traditional dominance in a lot of those sort of post-industrial communities in the Midlands and north of England in particular. And of course, I think we all have to look out for Scotland and whether there is another you know, a clear pro-independence majority. Because if there is, then you know, the issue of Scottish independence and arguments about it are clearly not going to be going away.
Can I add 2 points here? The first is that within Wales, I'll also be paying some attention to what happens to the Liberal Democrats. If they can, with no incumbency, retain the Brecon and Radnorshire seat and therefore retain any presence at all within the Assembly, that will be interesting. But if they do not, then the person who stands to gain on the regional list is probably a man called Thomas Davies, who is an old friend of mine and would be a real asset to the Conservative group in the Assembly were he to get in on that list. And nationally, I think what's going to happen in Hartlepool and in the Tees Valley mayoralty re-election is going to be really interesting. I went up to campaign in Hartlepool on Monday. That is a city that is not willing to countenance Labour being involved in their politics anymore. It was a fascinating experience. And Ben Houchen, who is the current Tory Tees Valley mayor, may be the most personally popular politician I've ever encountered in relation to name recognition on the doorstep. It was fascinating.
Just to finally wrap up then, one question for each of you. Roger, I'd like to start with you first. Which party do you think will be happiest on the day after Super Thursday?
I suspect overall the Tories are going to be happier than Labour, and I suspect the Liberal Democrats will be very, very miserable.
And Lauren, where does happiness lie, do you think?
I think the Conservatives are, broadly speaking, going to be the happiest. I think we're very likely to take Hartlepool. I think we'll win the Tees Valley mayoralty back again. I think we will hold in Wales, at least, which the year after there has been such significant border tension within the Welsh and the English views of how devolution is supposed to work, is not a bad thing. I think the Tories are going to be incredibly unhappy in London, and I suspect that Sean Bailey may go out in the first round, which would be a historic turn up in the way the London mayoralty voting works. But I think that the Conservatives may have some very difficult results coming in from Tory Lib Dem areas in England, and the Conservative Party is going to have to work out how it can be a machine that wins Tory Labour split votes in the Red Wall and wins Lib Dem Tory split votes in the Southwest going forward, because I think that that's where the Lib Dems are going to begin to encroach again.
And do you think happiness depends on the Conservatives winning Hartlepool from your perspective? If Labour sneak it, will that be a Labour good result in effect?
Holding Hartlepool
and winning London, that will give them the happiest position.
If Labour hold Hartlepool and retain London, then yes, it will be a very, very big day for Labour. But we're now over 10 years into the Conservatives being in power in Westminster. That's not a position that Labour should be happy with. Labour should be out on the airwaves a week in advance of this election saying, we're taking control of this council, we're taking control of that council, we're going to take control of the Senate in Cardiff Bay, and they're not. So regardless of Hartlepool and London, Labour are in a very weak position going into this election.
Well, overall, you know, Labour are not in a great position, but you know, obviously under their previous leader, they spent about 4.5 years publicly punching themselves in the face. So you know, we can't be terribly surprised at that. I think Welsh Lib Dem is going to be very miserable.
But they always are.
At the end of next week.
They do it so well.
I suspect much of English Lib Dem will also be fairly unhappy, although there may be patches of better performance.
From your lips to God's ears, Roger, I swear.
Yeah. And Scotland, I think, you know, that possibly could be, you know, in the long term, the most consequential result.
Yeah, but you've got a whole other team to ask about Scotland. They get all the airwaves on other stuff.
Okay, thank you. Roger, if we want to follow you on Twitter, where can we go?
You can go on Twitter and find me at Roger_ whatever it is, Scully.
So it's at Roger_Scully. Lauren, what about you?
I am at Lauren Mave.
Roger, Lauren, thank you so much. This has been really, really useful, really great, and very interesting. So thanks very much. Please remember to like, subscribe, review, all these different things that help people hear about us, and do tell all of your friends and many of the people that you don't know, even if you haven't enjoyed the podcast. This is a Poddo podcast produced by Nick Hilton, and our theme tune is by Joe Button.
For more details, go to podopods.com, and for sales and advertising, email nick@podopods.com.
And yes, that's spelled podopods.com.